My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus and in our Blessed Mother. If I used the word scandal, what generally comes to our minds? Perhaps we are thinking of a negative situation, right? Something that does harm or brings shame to a person or a community, a systemic immoral situation. Take the example of this pastor in Florida who was planning to burn the Quran, for example. That's a scandal. The abuse of children. That is a scandal. It is normal to consider a scandal to be a negative situation. And we are right. There's nothing right about a child who demands his share of the inheritance even before the death of his parents and then waste it all in a life of dissipation. That's the gospel reading today, isn't it? It's a scandal. Or there's nothing right about an entire people abandoning the God who saved them from slavery only to show their loyalty and fidelity to the image of a golden calf. Well, that's a scandal. And that's our first reading today. A scandal is serious business. It hurts the people involved. It destroys relationships. And most of all, it leads people away from God. However, what if I said to you, there is a positive and a good way of being scandalizing? There are three parables in today's gospel reading. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. Now, it is important for us to understand the context in which Jesus tells these parables. And the context is given in the very first verse of Luke chapter 15. Here it is. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." They were pointing toward a scandal. The Pharisees and scribes are represented by the very unhappy and angry older son at the end of the parable of the lost son. But when the Pharisees accuse him of the scandal, Jesus turns the table on them by sharing the parable. And I cannot imagine how scandalizing the story must have sounded to the Pharisees and the scribes. But that is exactly the message that Jesus was trying to communicate. That God's love is scandalizing. Paul, in his letter to Timothy in today's second reading, calls himself a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. But he was treated according to God's mercy. And he concludes the reading saying, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ saved the world by the scandal of the cross. So today, I want to say, the parable of the lost son is a story about two scandalizing characters. But it's in the way in which they are scandalizing that is different. The prodigal son is scandalizing in his demand for independence. The father, on the other hand, is scandalizing in the freedom he offers. The son is scandalizing in his sin. The father is scandalizing in the longing for his son's return. The Son is scandalizing in his shameless return. The Father is scandalizing in his welcome of the sinful Son. Let me offer three practical implications of the readings today. My dear friends, first, we must be aware that sin is serious business. We must ourselves and teach our children to take sin seriously. Every sin is a scandal. Sin seriously damages relationships, our relationship with God, and some sins can even break our relationship with God. Sin also breaks our relationship with one another. Sin hurts those involved. One look at the cross and we know how painful sin is. Most of all, sin ruptures our relationship with our own selves. Remember the parable? The lost son lost his identity when he left home. He became a caretaker of swine. In sin, we become who we are not. We become strangers to our own selves. So I suggest that we keep the consequences of sin constantly before our eyes. Sin is scandalous. Secondly, most of the time this parable is interpreted as being the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the lost son. The son is a sinner and God is a forgiving father. At heart, we are all sinners and in need of repentance. And each one of us would like to think of ourselves as a lost son. But the truth of the matter is that each one of us has a dual role, that of the son and that of the father. There are times when we as sinners stand in need of forgiveness like the son. There are other times when people seek forgiveness from us and we need to forgive like the Father. So the key is this. There should be no dichotomy between the two roles. In the same manner that we expect God to forgive us, we must forgive. Any contradiction is hypocrisy. I'm sure that each of us in some way knows that we have sinned. But could we become scandalous in the way we love and forgive those who ask us forgiveness? The third point. The losers in the parable are the Pharisees and the scribes, symbolized by the older son. They consider themselves righteous, they consider themselves saved. They stood outside and looked at sinners and were glad that they were not like them. And these are the most pathetic people. They have no compassion for others and they do not understand the scandalizing love of God. In the process, though, something very sad happens. They became incapable of sharing in God's joy. Friends, no matter what, let us never become people who lack compassion or lack the limitless and unconditional and scandalizing love. Otherwise, we may find ourselves excluded from the kingdom. In conclusion, let me say this. As we come to celebrate this Eucharist, let us remember that this Eucharist is a celebration of the scandalizing love of God. The cross is a scandal of God's love, and this Eucharist commemorates that celebration. Let us come to the God of scandalizing love like the lost son and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I want to be your son, your daughter, once again. Amen.